in front of the book of Matthew chapter 28. I'm going to share a little bit on baptisms, and then we're going to be baptizing. Amen. As far as I know, I don't know, one at least. Amen. How many we got? About three of them. Amen. Praise the Lord. Four. Whoever wants to get baptized, I mean, once I hear this teaching, amen, you know, we will dunk you. Hello, somebody. Amen. Praise the Lord. But I want to do a teaching, amen, on baptisms, amen. And I love to baptize people, amen. Amen. I love to baptize people, amen. I love to see baptisms, amen. Praise the Lord. The guys are going to be helping me this morning baptize, amen. Praise the Lord. But it's good to be here this morning. And the church should really celebrate. The church should love to see this happen.
That's right.
You know, and I'm going to explain that during this teaching on why it's important, amen, and why should we? It should bring joy to our hearts,
yes.
Amen, on why we baptized, amen. Praise the Lord. So, amen, I'm going to ask the worship team, amen, thank you so much for, amen, playing here this morning, amen. I want to read you Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, amen, through 20. It's the Great Commission. This portion of scripture is known also as the Great Commission, Matthew 28, verse 18 through 20. And the scripture says this, "And Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Father, bless the reading of your word, anointed to our hearts here this morning. We give you all the praise and glory in the mighty name of Jesus, everybody says. Amen. Amen. You may be seated here this morning. The portion of scripture that I just read to you is called the Great Commission. The Great Commission. But to many churches, it has become the Great Omission.
Oh my.
In other words, some churches, they don't hit the streets.
Yeah.
They don't evangelize.
Right.
Jesus here said, he says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations." Some translation says, "Go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations." Now, for some churches, they may not go and evangelize, but then on the other spectrum, there are some churches that it's become the Great Omission because also they don't participate in baptisms.
Yeah.
What I want you to understand here is that baptisms is part of the Great Commission. To baptize people and to do what Jesus said is part of the Great Commission. It's just not to hit the streets. It's just not to evangelize. But it's also to baptize and to teach or to disciple. And so for the Christian to neglect evangelism, baptism, and discipleship is to not do what Jesus told us to do. The scripture says that Jesus mandated baptism. It says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Ghost." In other words, here is an ordinance that Jesus gave to the church, a decree, a mandate, a command. Jesus commanded us to hit the streets, to baptize people, and to disciple people.
Yes,
if we are not doing that as Christians, then we are omitting this part in our life. How many know we don't want to just halfway serve God? I don't want to halfway serve God. I want to fully serve God. See? So this is an ordinance to baptize. The ordinance of baptism by immersion is commanded in the Bible. Everyone who repents and believes in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior is to be baptized. Everyone who repents. In repentance, what is repentance? Remember, you can't be baptized unless you have repented. You can't be baptized unless you have repented. You can't be baptized unless you have put your belief or trust in Christ.
That's right, amen.
So all who repent and believe in Jesus are to be baptized. But what is repentance? Repentance In repentance, a person makes a complete change of direction. In repentance, a person makes a complete 180 turn towards God. They turn from their old way of living. They turn from their old way of living and they begin to follow God. That's repentance. You're following the devil. You're following the ways of the world. But in repentance, you make a complete 180 and you begin to walk the other way with God. Has anybody started walking the other way with God?
Amen. Amen.
See, some people think that they can still walk the same way they've been walking and now have God with them. It don't work like that. Because God, when you, the way you were walking the way to destruction. You're walking with the devil. You're walking with the enemy. That was the way you were walking. Huh? But listen, God ain't going to go on you on that trip. You got to turn. You got to turn from your evil ways.
Right.
So all who repent and believe on Christ as their Savior and Lord are to be baptized. If you've repented, then you can be baptized now. But if you haven't repented, if you're still walking in the same direction, if you're still going the same way that you were going with the world, you're not ready for baptism. Mm. You haven't fully committed yourself to Christ. Acts chapter 19, verse 20. Acts chapter 3, verse 19 through 20. Says this, if you could turn your Bibles there, Acts chapter 3, verse 19 through 20. Turn your Bibles there, please. It's a powerful verse. Acts chapter 3, verse 19. It says, repent, therefore, and turn back, that your sins may be blotted out. Repent, therefore, and turn back, that your sins may be blotted out. In other words, if you don't repent and you don't turn back, your sins won't be blotted out. But the scripture says, repent, turn. And once you turn, listen, when you turn, that's when you can expect your sins to be blotted out.
Yeah.
But if you keep on walking the same way, if you keep on walking the same way, your sins will not be blotted out. So you got to repent and turn. How many remember that song from Santana? Remember that song? You got to turn from your evil ways. Huh? You got to turn from your. You know that guy Santana. He kind of like he would get saved and kind of go back to do his music and get saved. So a lot of his songs, you know, you'll hear a little bit of kind of like some stuff that sounds like Christian, yeah. You know, because he's like a believer in Christ, but he kind of still makes his music, you know. But we got to repent.
That's right.
We got to repent. It's like it reminds me of some people that they try to repent, but they still want to hold on to their old lifestyle.
Oh, my. Come on now.
People struggle with that. Christians struggle with that. I understand. Listen, I understand that when you repent and you turn away, and you start walking the other way, you're still going to kind of like smell like the world.
Yeah, come on now.
Right? It's like hard to get the smell of weed off of you.
Come on now.
Right? Amen. You remember how when you used to hang out with your friends, right? And then it was time to go home, right? Because you got curfew. Your mom said you got to be home by 12. Huh? So you went out and you did everything you could in those few hours. And you were over there and then you were getting high. You're getting loaded. And then it was about 11:30 coming around, 11:45. And you started to, man, I got to sober up. Where's the Visine?
Hello.
Where's the cologne? Where's the perfume? Right? I don't care how much Visine you put in your eyes. Come on, somebody. I don't care how much cologne you spray. You just mixed it in with the weed smoke.
Yeah.
Right? Come on now. Huh? And then you got home, and all of a sudden you had the hound dogs. Come on now. Right? Maybe you shouldn't call them that, but right? Mom and Dad. Come on, somebody.
Amen.
Huh? Huh? Huerco, mugroso, marihuano. Right? Come on now. Huh? No matter what you spray. See, so sometimes when you turn, you still got the smell of the world. And I understand that.
Yeah.
But after a while, come on, somebody.
Yeah.
After a while, listen, you shouldn't be smelling like weed no more.
That's right. Come on.
Your eyes shouldn't be bloodshot red no more.
Come on now.
Listen, if somebody walks into our church and they still smell like weed, you know, don't sit away from them. Hug them and welcome them to the house of God and welcome them, you know, to this isn't the right place they should be at. Come on, somebody. Bring them to the altar. Hello, somebody. And encourage them to keep on coming back. Because eventually, if they continue to sit under the Word of God, the Word of God is like the washing of the water. The Word of God, when you hear it sit under the preaching, it's like taking a good shower. When you come to church, it's like taking a good shower. And when you sit under the preaching of God's Word, you're going to be getting shy. And God is taking all that stinkiness off. God is taking, he's cleaning your eyes up. He's cleaning your mouth up. Hello, somebody.
Come on now.
All of a sudden, you come and you're serving God and you're not cussing no more.
Come on now.
Huh? You know, things are starting to change in your life. Why? Because you begin to repent.
Yes.
Huh? But there has to be a turning point.
Yes.
There has to be a turning point. And in that turning point, you're still gonna probably struggle with the things of the world. You're still gonna probably smell like weed. You're still gonna probably think the same. But as long as you don't turn back, once you turn to God, just stay with God. Just stay with God. Just, you know, put one foot in front of the other. And it's a long journey ahead, but you just keep on going with God. Because eventually, the more you walk with God, the farther away you get from the world.
Yes.
And then one day you're going to look up, and you're going to look back to the world. But you're going to say, man, I've left that way over there, man. Right. It's closer to heaven than the world. So let me just keep on walking towards heaven.
Yes.
I don't know about you, but I'm closer to heaven than the world. I ain't going back to the world. I ain't going back to that one. Why? Why when I got heaven to look forward to?
Amen.
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 To be baptized, you got to repent.
That's good.
You got to repent. Turn away from your old ways. Yeah, you may struggle a little bit. Yeah, there may be still some ropes that are tying you back, but let me tell you something, the anointing will destroy the yoke of bondage. The anointing will begin to cut those ropes off and you'll begin to get set free. So don't grow weary in well doing, for in due time you shall reap a harvest. Don't grow weary, because in due time those things are going to be cut off of your life.
Yes.
We got to repent and we got to turn to God so that our sins may be blotted out.
Yes.
The scripture says in verse 20 in Acts 3 that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord.
Amen.
See, when you get baptized, it's like a refreshing time.
Yes.
Yes.
Right. Huh? It's like a refreshing time. It's like it's a new day.
Yes.
Amen.
Huh? It's a new day that begins to take place. So when a person is baptized, they declare to the world that they have died with Christ. And also that they have been raised with Christ in newness of life.
Amen.
It is symbolic. Every baptism and communion is symbolic. It is symbolic. You know, it's nothing magical. It's nothing magical, but it is a miracle.
Yes.
Amen.
Let me say it again.
Yes.
It's nothing magical, but it is a miracle.
That's right. Amen.
Huh? It is a miracle. It's nothing, you know, it's nothing magical, but it is a miracle. And let me tell you something. You may still feel the same. You may still think the same. But you have taken a step in the right direction.
Amen. Right, amen.
Huh? The Lord's Supper that we just had right now, consisting of the elements, the bread and the fruit of the vine, it is the symbol expressing our sharing the divine nature of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know what? You know what? You know why God changes? You know why we change? It's not because of our own goodness.
Come on, Pastor.
Huh?
That's right.
You're not set free off of meth and ice because of your own goodness and of your own willpower.
Oh, now.
Right. You may think that. If you think that, you're in the wrong direction. You're thinking wrong.
Right. That's right. Amen.
You better be careful, because you might fall if you think like that.
That's right. Come on.
You have to know that it is the power of God that has set you free. Yeah. It wasn't your self-control. Yeah. It wasn't your self-discipline.
Right.
But it was the power of God that set you free. And why? Because now you are partaking.
Yes.
Woo. Come on.
Hmm? You are partaking in the divine nature.
Amen.
It is symbolic. The bread is not the body, the actual body of Christ.
Right.
It is symbolic to the body of Christ. Amen. You take it by faith, meaning that you are partaking in his body. Right. You drink the fruit of the vine. There's power in the blood of Christ. Yes. It is not actual the blood of Christ, but it is symbolic. You take it by faith.
Come on.
So you begin to partake in his divine nature.
Amen.
Divine means God-like.
Yes.
You begin to partake in the divine nature. So whenever you are baptized, remember it is symbolic to being buried with Christ.
Amen.
But remember, he's not buried like some of us get, like people get buried. Remember, he was put in the tomb.
Right.
He was put in the tomb. But nevertheless, he went down into death.
Yeah, right.
He went down into death. And he was raised back to life.
Amen.
Amen.
So it is symbolic by faith that you die with Christ. But when you are brought back up, you're brought back to life.
Amen.
And when you take that action by faith,
yes,
God begins to operate.
Right.
Oh, you ain't hearing me.
Right.
Amen.
When you take that action by faith, God begins to operate. It's the same thing when you give your offering and you put your tithe in the offering bucket. It is coming. This is why I say tap the bucket. If you ain't got nothing to give, tap the bucket. Why? Because it is an act of faith.
Yes.
I may not have nothing to give right now, but by faith, I'm believing next Sunday, I'm going to have a tithe. I'm going to have an offering. I'm going to have a building fund. My pockets may look thin right now, but by faith, next Sunday, hello somebody. By faith, you got to walk. You got to make the walk of faith.
That's right. Come on, Pastor.
You got to make the walk of faith.
That's good.
This is why sometimes some people are scared of getting baptized. Because I don't know if I'm ready. I don't know if I'm ready. Listen, you're never going to be ready.
Right.
It's the same way with people giving their life to Jesus. I don't know if I'm ready. I don't know if I'm ready. They're relying on their own self-discipline. They're relying on their own power. They're relying on their own righteousness. Listen, that's weak, my friend. But when you take it by faith, listen, God empowers you to live this life for him. When you take it by faith, God empowers you to make that change.
Good, that's good, amen.
It is an act of faith. It is symbolic. Expressing our sharing of the divine nature. Look at 2 Peter chapter 1. Turn your Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 1. Be a good church. Turn your Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 1. Now it's like you have to because the guys, we haven't figured out how to put the scripture on the screen. It's probably God. Hello, somebody. He makes us turn our Bibles.
Right.
Huh? If you don't got a Bible, go get you a Bible. Or come see me afterwards. I'll give you a Bible. Huh? How many know we're people of the Word here? Word. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4. Verse 4. This is what it says. Whereby are given unto us exceeding. I like that word. Great. And precious promises. In other words, there should be no shortages of promises. That by these ye might be partakers. Somebody say partakers.
Partakers.
Of the divine nature. Huh? Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. God wants us to partake in his nature. God wants us to partake in his divine nature. In other words, he wants us to walk like him and talk like him and do what he did. Huh? In other words, if he was raised from the dead, guess what? He wants to raise us from the dead.
Amen.
Huh? Pinch your neighbor. Pinch him. Make sure they're alive. They say, ouch. Okay, they're alive. Right? They're alive. Huh? You're alive. We're all candidates. We're all candidates to be resurrected.
Amen.
We're all candidates to experience the resurrection power of Christ.
Amen.
But we have to partake. This is why we got to take communion. This is why you got to be baptized.
Come on now.
Now, we're going to learn that later on, baptism doesn't save you. You know? If you don't get baptized, that means you're not going to go to heaven? No, because the thief on the cross wasn't baptized.
Right.
But learn this lesson. He wasn't baptized because he wasn't able to be baptized. But if you're able to be baptized, you should be baptized.
Yeah. Right.
You should not be waiting. Huh? Because then you're going to get to heaven. Jesus is going to ask that question. He's going to ask you, were you baptized? You know? And then you're going to say, no, I wasn't baptized. Well, he's going to ask you the next question. Why weren't you baptized? From last time I checked, you weren't hanging next to me on the cross. Oh, hello, somebody. Huh? See, he's going to hold you accountable for the things you know you should be held accountable for, that you were able to do. He's not going to ask you to do something that you cannot do.
Right.
Now, there's some of you, you know, that you might, you know, he's going to ask you, were you baptized? And you're going to say, yes, I was baptized 5 times.
Come on.
And, you know, he's going to say, well, why were you baptized 5 times? Well, because I just wanted to make sure. You're going to say, praise God, amen, good job, amen, come in. I was messing with my wife last night, you know, because I was asking, I was like, you know, were you baptized? I was baptized, Jesus. And she said to me, yeah, I was baptized. I said, did Pastor Jesse baptize me?
Oh.
She's like, no. She said, me, my mom, and my sisters, we went to my mom's church, and we got baptized together. I said, nah. You need to be VO baptized. I was messing with her and stuff. I said, you're bad. I'm going to dunk you. She's like, no, I'm going to go have Pastor Jesse baptize me. I said, I'm your daddy. You know, and that's good. You know, she's baptized. She don't have to get baptized. She got baptized. She got baptized. The pastor baptized her. She got baptized. You know, that's fine. You know, if you've been baptized, okay, you don't have to get rebaptized. Some people do feel a conviction to get baptized, though. Some people that were baptized before, you know, and they backslid, you know, and they say, they come and say, Pastor, I was baptized over here at the Church of the Chosen Frozen. But, you know, I just, my heart wasn't really into it. I was just doing it because everybody else was doing it or whatever. I said, I feel like I need to get baptized really here and now.
Amen.
I said, praise God. Amen. What hinders you from being baptized? Nothing. You know? Nothing hinders you. The only difference is that you're just going to be a wet Christian. You know? You're a wet Christian. Amen. Praise God. That's it. It's okay. I'd rather be a wet Christian. Amen. Wet baptized than dry Christian. Hello, somebody. Huh? Baptism is a memorial. It's like a memorial of what he did for us. Communion is a memorial of his suffering. We have to remember, God never wants us to forget that he died on the cross. God never wants us to forget his passion. God never wants us to forget the sacrifice that he made through his son, Jesus Christ. We should never forget that. This is why baptism is important. This is why it's important for the individual and it's important for the church. Because when the individual is getting baptized and the church is watching, it reminds us also. It reminds us, listen, what Christ did for us. Whenever that person is taken down and dunked into the water and is brought back up, it reminds us what God did for us.
Right.
He took our place. So, when we think about Christianity is really simple. It's really simple. When we just read the scriptures and take them for their worth, it's simple to apply to our lives. And Jesus said Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 11:26, the scripture that Josh shared earlier, in 1 Corinthians 11:26, he says, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he comes." Every time we partake in communion, we reconfirm our faith and our profession. Every time we partake in communion at the beginning of the month, we reconfirm and we reprofess our faith in Christ. And it's important that we do that.
Yes.
On a daily basis, on a weekly basis, on a monthly basis, we must reconfirm our commitment to Christ. Why? Because we're in this for the long haul.
That's right. Amen.
We're in this for the long haul.
Right.
And people that are not in it for the long haul, it's not in the forefront of their brain. If you don't keep God in the forefront of your life, you are not going to serve God the way God wants you to serve him.
Yeah.
Either he's Lord of all or he's not Lord at all. And there's so many people that they profess God. They say they're Christians. They have a Bible, but they don't keep God on the forefront. But that's what separates us. Hello, somebody. That's what separates us from them, is that, listen, we don't put God on the back burner, but we put God on the front burner. And that is scriptural. Matthew 6, verse 33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and everything else shall be added unto you. In other words, we put God first, whether he adds to us or he doesn't. Our lifestyle is a lifestyle of putting God first in the morning through prayer and devotion and the word of God. Our lifestyle is putting God first on the weekend, on Friday night, on Sunday morning. We put God on the first day of the week. He is not somebody that we put on the back burner. Too many want to put God on the back burner, but I'm glad that God didn't put me on the back burner. I'm glad that when God see me in my mess and I needed to be rescued, he took me as priority and he saved me. We got to put God first in our lives.
Right.
And so in communion and in baptism and in communion, we put God first. We put priority on God. When we simplify Christianity, the teachings of Jesus, they don't involve all the ceremonies and rituals that other religions require. Some people make trying to serve God harder than what it should.
Come on now.
Huh? Some religions try to make serving God harder than what they should. But biblical Christianity is simple, my friend. Huh? There's no extra, you know, stuff that you got to add on to it. There's no extra things like rosaries and bowing down 7 times a day, no ashes on the forehead, or even kissing the feet of baby Jesus. None of that. We don't got to do none of that.
Right.
The Bible, nowhere does it say you got to kiss the feet of a doll.
Come on now.
Nowhere does it say that you got to put ashes on your forehead.
True.
Nowhere does it say that you got to be up and down, or get a mat and lean and bow, eat to the east and pray to the east 7 times. Nowhere in the scripture.
Come on now.
Does it say that?
Good, Pastor.
But it does say you must be baptized.
That's right. Right. Amen. Amen.
It does say, do this as often in remembrance of me, partake of the bread and partake, because we share those scriptures all the time.
That's right.
Yeah.
Huh? But sometimes religions want to add too much crema to the tacos. Almost like if they did more of that, then, you know, then that would help. But listen, it doesn't. The scripture doesn't say that. The scripture says, listen, to put our faith in Christ Jesus, repent and be baptized in the name of the Lord. We got to keep it simple. Now, Jesus left us these ordinances. He did leave us these two ordinances. These were concrete ways of connecting with him as a person and with other believers. See, water baptism and communion are the two ordinances practiced by Victory Outreach. Neither make us a Christian. Partaking in communion doesn't make you a Christian. You can partake in communion and not be a Christian. You can get baptized and not be a Christian.
Yeah.
These don't make us a Christian.
Right.
But they both tell us what it means to be a Christian.
Amen.
They both tell us what it means to be a Christian. To partake in his divine nature. In other words, that we are to walk like he did. That we are to obey his commands.
Amen.
They tell us what it is to be a Christian. That we are to put our faith in the sacrifice that he did on the cross for our sins.
Yes, yes, yes.
So water baptism means being buried and raised with Christ. Being buried and raised with Christ. Now, I'm going to make a correction on myself, because I think last time I taught on baptism, I said that Jesus didn't baptize nobody. But I stand corrected. Jesus did baptize people. And I say this, and I'm open with you because of this. Because there's a lot of stuff sometimes that you will find on the internet. And you got to be careful. We have to be careful, because I have learned, and I was studying here this morning, I seen that, and it reminded me of the last time when I taught on baptisms. I said Jesus didn't baptize nobody, and probably because I was thinking about Paul, when Paul said, you know, I'm glad I didn't baptize none of you in the book of Corinthians, But then I ran across a scripture this morning in the book of John chapter 3. I want you to turn there, John chapter 3. And I found the scripture and I said, wow, there it is. Jesus did baptize people. So I stand corrected. Now, I say this because, you know, some when I study, I like to use commentaries and I like to use the internet also. And I remember I got some of those notes from the internet. And I said, you know, I should have probably did some more research on it before I mentioned that last time. But I corrected this time. And I say that because it's very important that you just don't take what some preacher says or what some teacher says or even what you read on the internet and just run with it.
Right.
You have to be like what the New Testament in the book of Acts said, the Berean people. It says that those people, they would cross-reference everything Paul said with the Bible. The Berean people. And that's the type of people we need to be. We have to be people that use our Bible to cross-reference everything the preacher says. Everything the teacher says. This is why you got to have a Bible. This is why you got to have a Bible. Because you got to, just don't take it from me. What does the scripture say? And John chapter 3 verse 26, look at it, what it says. John chapter 3 verse 26. They came to John and said to him, Rabbi, that man who was with you on the other side of the Jordan, the one you testified about, look, 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 he is baptizing. And everyone is going to him. He is baptizing and everyone is going to him. Huh? Here, this was John. John had been baptizing many people already. Right. Jesus was kind of like the new kid on the block. But yet he was the Messiah. But yet when John already had his ministry, and he had a fairly large ministry. And he was baptizing a lot of people. But then Jesus came on the scene and it says that Jesus started to baptize. And then his disciples said, hey, John, look, everybody's going to Jesus, your cousin. Ain't you going to do something about it? Huh? So we see here, one, that Jesus did baptize people.
Right.
He did baptize people. Huh? So this is why as a church we should baptize people too. Why? Because we want to be like Jesus.
Amen.
Huh? We want to be like Jesus. But you know what I learned also from this scripture? I learned this. Listen to the next scripture here in verse 30. Listen to what it says. To this, John replied, a person can receive only what is given them from heaven. A person can receive only what is given them from heaven. What is John saying here? So much, so full of wisdom. What is he saying? He's saying, listen, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if they're all going to Jesus now and they're leaving my ministry. I can only receive what is given to me from heaven. From heaven. From heaven. Whatever God gives you, let me tell you something. Don't be jealous if God gives somebody else more. Are you hearing me? Don't be jealous if you see that person driving a Cadillac and you got a Pinto. Don't be jealous if God gives them a BMW and gives you a Chrysler. No. Don't be jealous if God gives them a two-story house and gives you an apartment. A person can receive only what is given to them by heaven.
That's right. Amen. Amen.
That should be enough that has been given to you by heaven.
Yes.
Are you hearing me, somebody?
Amen. Come on.
John didn't trip. He didn't trip. He started losing disciples. They all started following Jesus. But they were on the same team.
That's right.
His disciples were tripping. You know, they're taking our disciples and then, you know, we're not baptizing enough people. They're baptizing them all now. This is why I said this morning, if it's just one, it's worth it all.
Amen. Right.
That's what heaven has given us. If it's two, praise God. If it's three, praise God. I'm not going to be jealous of the church that baptized 1,000. Heaven gave them 1,000. Heaven gave us 3. Praise God.
That's right.
But I will tell you this. I'll tell you what I feel heaven has given us. I feel like heaven may not give us a mega church, but he'll give us a large, strong church that launches out churches. Receive that. I feel that's what heaven has for us.
Yes.
Heaven has a large church for us,
right,
that is strong.
Amen.
And that is a base.
Yeah.
Amen.
Hmm? I really don't feel like God's going to give us a mega church. I could be wrong again. I was wrong earlier, last time when I said Jesus didn't baptize nobody. Huh? But what I feel in my spirit, and the Lord spoke to me this morning, is look, you have the capacity to have a large church. Whether it's 200, 300, 400, 500 people, whatever. But it's going to be a strong church, and it's going to be a sending church.
Amen.
We're going to be a faith. We're going to send out other churches.
Yeah.
Now, they may have mega churches. Come on, somebody.
Yeah.
Huh? Huh? And that, because that's what heaven has for us. Well, that's what heaven has for us, my friend. Huh? But, you know, we can only receive what heaven got for us.
Yeah.
Huh? We ain't got time to be jealous of what God gave them. God, no, my friend. God knows our capacity. God knows what we can have. God knows what you can handle.
Amen.
Heaven, whatever you guys, because heaven gave it to you. We have to learn to be content with what God has given us.
Amen.
Huh? So, water baptism, here we see that Jesus, in the scripture, we learn that Jesus did baptize, but he immediately, let me learn this, he immediately delegated this responsibility to his followers. Jesus, listen, Jesus did baptize, but as soon as he baptized, like the first 12 probably, you know, and I say probably, after he baptized the 12, he delegated, he says, now you baptize.
Yes.
Watch. Chapter 4. Go to chapter 4. Now. Verse 1 and 2. In the book of John, chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. Now Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard that he was gaining and baptizing more disciples than John. Look at this. Although in fact it was not Jesus who baptized, but his disciples. See? This is where people get confused and they say Jesus didn't baptize nobody. But what it was, what most likely took place, is that Jesus baptized his closest disciples first. And then once he baptized the 12, he says, okay, I baptize you now. Now you baptize everybody else.
Right.
See? That's what took place. In other words, he discipled them. He did the Great Commission.
That's good. Right.
He evangelized, he baptized, and he discipled.
Yeah.
And he released. Huh? That's what we're doing here this morning.
Right.
Huh? That's why this morning you see Josh come up here and do communion. You know? Even though he was dismissing people in the middle of communion. It's like, we're going to, the ushers are going to dismiss you row by row. And I said, no! We dismiss people. Yeah. I was like, man, I know what he meant. You know what he meant. But I was like, dismiss? What? I was about to stand up and I object. Come on, somebody. Huh? But you know, he's learning a couple of times. He learned. Why? We're discipling.
Amen. Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
It doesn't always have to be pastor doing communion or pastor preaching. Even this morning I'm gonna have the guys do the baptisms. Huh? Why? Because it's biblical. Eventually you know, God will raise you up. You're gonna baptize people. Listen, you can baptize people. You got disciples, man, baptize them. I mean, you know, get first ask me, like, baptize people to life group, amen. You know, right? You know, but it's cool. You know, we used to baptize people in prison. We were inmates. We would baptize each other. We would fill up the trash can with water, and then we would get in it. And then the other, ready? I'm ready. All right. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. I'm serious. We would. Huh? Because there was no pastor there to baptize us. There was no baptismal in some prisons.
Yeah.
Hello, somebody. Baptism and working out the squats. Amen. Huh? Baptism. Huh? So, here, there's three powerful statements, and I'm done. Three things. I'm going to go real fast. And the act of water baptism. One past, one present, and one future. Now, the past. The past statement that you make in baptism is this. You make the statement, I have chosen. I have chosen. In other words, you ain't being forced. In the past, churches have forced people to get baptized. Huh? You cannot coerce or force believers to get baptized. A person must choose for themselves. God forces no one. Only at the end. Only at the end. At the end, he will force you. Because it says every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess.
Right.
Every means every. If, listen, just do it right now willingly so that he ain't got to bend your knee later forcefully.
Wow.
Just confess Jesus now willingly so that he doesn't have to move your tongue at the end. Because at the end of the day and at the end of the millennial, he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He is Lord of all, and he is God, omnipotent, omnipowerful, omnipresent.
Yes, yes, yes.
And every knee will bow, and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. But that's at the end. But right now, he doesn't force nobody. A person must do this willingly. They must willingly, because they're making a decision to say, I have chosen through the anointing of the Holy Spirit, through the power of the Holy Spirit, I have chosen to follow Christ. When people are forced to be baptized, then a lot of times it's a weak foundation. Because it's not coming from the heart. It's not coming from the heart. It has to come from the hearts. See? But you got to first be a disciple. Before you get baptized, you first must be a disciple. You first have to make the choice to put your faith. Before you get baptized, you first got to make the decision to say, I'm going to follow Jesus.
Amen, right.
The Ethiopian in Acts chapter 3, verse 6. Look at Acts chapter 3, verse 36. Acts chapter 8, verse 36. Look at this Ethiopian guy here. Acts chapter 8, verse 36. Look, this is how we should respond when it comes down to baptism, like this Ethiopian right here. Right here. Here he is. This is what he does. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, look, here is water. What can stand in the way of me being baptized? It says the Ethiopian said it on his own. He looked to Philip the evangelist. He says, hey, evangelist, look, there's water right there. It came from him. And this should be the response of the Christian, that it comes from within inside of you to want to get baptized. This is the attitude that baptism represents, a desire to announce that I have chosen to follow Christ.
Right.
We as a ministry, we endorse water baptism of those believers who are old enough to understand the experience. In other words, we don't baptize babies or little children who do not understand. But if they're little and they understand, bring them here. There's some of our kids that understand. You know, Frankie's about that age where he begins to understand. Timmy, we're still praying for him. You got that one kid. Come on, somebody. They're like, no. Dude, you don't know, man. You just don't know. Amen. Huh? But you know, Frank's about that age where he understands. You know? He hasn't said it yet. We're waiting. It has to come from him. You know, he wants to be baptized. Come over here. We'll dunk you. Huh? But listen. But they must understand. They mustn't. We don't baptize babies because babies don't have an understanding yet.
Right.
They don't have an understanding yet. Huh? So understanding is needed in order to fulfill the biblical example that the Bible shows us. There has to be a voluntary choice for saving faith. Then the next statement that we make, not that you have, not only have you chosen, but also I can identify, or you can relate. You can relate to Christ Jesus. You begin to relate to Christ. Baptism is a way of telling the world that I identify with Jesus in every respect. In other words, I side with Jesus Christ now, not with the world or with my family, but with Christ. See, before we sided with the world. But now that you're saved and you're a disciple, now you don't take the world's side or your friend's side or your family's side, but you take Christ's side. So in baptism, you're making that statement. You're making that statement that I can identify with Christ. In other words, in through the preaching, I identify with the Word of God. That preaching makes sense. That is right. That's what I want to align my life to. I want to align my life to the Word, not to my friends, not to the world, not even to family, not even to my job, but I'm going to align my life to the Word of God.
Yes.
You align yourself with the Word of God. And you identify with Christ. When a believer enters the water, he or she is being buried with Christ in baptism and raised with him through your faith in the power of God who raised Jesus from the dead. Huh? So when you're buried, when you're taken under the water, it's symbolic to you being buried. Let me tell you something. Who among us that lives on this earth or that's on this earth does not sin? I'll tell you who. The dead corpse in the grave. Dead people can't sin. Dead people can't sin. So when you are buried under the water, symbolic, it is symbolic to that you've died to the world. That means when you come back up, you're coming back in a newness of life. Listen, you can't sin no more. Huh? Physically, you can. I mean, but listen, there is something that takes place, huh? In the heavens. And you may still be tempted. You may still kind of struggle with things, but there something happened. There's something new that when you accepted Christ, you have the power of Christ. You partook in that divine nature now. See, you've died to your old self. You've died to your old way of living.
Right.
You've been freed from sin. Mm-hmm. Romans chapter 6. I want you to turn there. Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. Look at verse 6 and 7. Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, verse 6. For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. See that? For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the old body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Let's read on to verse 7. Because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. Because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. Tell your neighbor, you've been set free. When you were buried with Christ, it is symbolic to you dying with Christ. It is symbolic to you dying with Christ. You come up in newness of life. You have been set free from sin. Remember, you say, how, explain it. Is it something magical? No, it's nothing magical. It is something that you do by faith. And let me tell you something. When you do this by faith, I believe that you'll get a breakthrough in areas. Because you're doing it by faith. I believe the things that you've been struggling with, you'll get a breakthrough in those things. Why? Because you're doing it by faith. If there's been a sin that's been besetting, huh? Something takes place in your life. You can experience a new freedom that you've never experienced before, huh? Baptism is also more. It's also, when you think about baptism, you can think about how The grave could not hold Jesus any more than the water can hold us. The same way that the tomb, the grave, could not hold Jesus down is the same way that the water can't hold. The water, you could get back up. You get back up. You have enough power to pull yourself up out of the water. That's how it is. That's how it is for us. When we die, it's going to be as simple. If the Lord tarries and we die and we get buried, guess what? That tomb, I don't care if they bury us 100 feet in the ground. I don't care if they bury us down to the middle of the earth. Ain't nothing going to be able to hold us when the last trumpet call, when the last trump, that when it sounds the boom, the boom, the boom from heaven. Listen, we're going to be raised from the dead. The Bible says the dead in Christ will be raised first, and then us who remain alive will be caught up together, and together in the middle of the sky we shall meet the Lord, and we forever will be with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We will be in heaven. We will be on the streets of gold. We will stand before the Master, before the King. We can leave this dirty old flesh behind. We can leave this dirty old world behind. We can leave this old flesh nature behind. And we will stand in the newness of life. We have a hope to look forward to. Quit being bogged down by the problems of this world. Quit being bogged down by the worries and the concerns of this world. They don't matter, my friend. This is going to be old. We're going to have a new hope of glory. New heaven and new earth. A new government. It's going to be new. Don't get caught up in the things of this world. Who cares of what you don't have? Guess what? You ain't even going to be married to her no more. I'm sorry. You're not going to be married to him no more. You ain't going to have to put up with him. I'm sorry. You're going to look at him like, you ain't got nothing on Jesus. We ain't gonna be focused. I know it's hard to comprehend, but I'm sorry. You ain't even gonna look at her, look at him like, hey, please, what's up, man? Sinner, you, I know how you were in the world. You're gonna be caught up with Jesus. You're gonna be caught up with Jesus, my friend. So now that your marriage is not gonna be, you ain't gotta worry about nothing. So at Christ's return, the grave will be unable to hold us down. Romans 8:11 says, but if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that lives in you. The last one, the last statement you make is that I will be faithful. I will be faithful. Huh? I will be faithful. Listen. Why is it the statement that we say, I will be faithful? The piano player can come up. Because baptism is a public thing. It's a public thing. In the New Testament, they didn't have church buildings. Church buildings didn't come till about the 3rd century. Let me tell you something about church buildings. Church buildings are not sacred. They're functional. They're not sacred, they're functional. But, somebody say but. They deserve to be respected.
Amen.
Right? You know? You know what I mean? You know, they're not sacred, but they're functional. Like, we have a building. Why? To function. We have a building so that we can come and have baptism, have communion, have worship. You know? So when it's raining outside, we're not getting rained on. So that when it's hot outside, we have some good AC in here. Right now we ain't got the heater on. We don't need it yet, but later on we're going to turn it on. It's functional, but it's not sacred. But it should be respected.
Amen.
It should be respected. Don't be coming in here putting your gum under the seat.
Come on now.
Throwing trash all over the place. This is why after service, don't just leave your water bottle there.
Hello.
Well, don't you leave your bubblegum wrapper right there.
Wow.
You know? I mean, it's not sacred, but my God, please, you know, have some respect.
Right.
Hello, somebody.
Hey, come on now.
Oh, the home will pick it up.
Come on.
No, man. Clean up. Take your water bottle. Take your gum. Right. And if you see some trash on the floor, bend down. Come on, bend down. Come on now. Huh? If it was a penny, you pick it up.
Wow.
Penny pincher you. See a penny, pick it up. Right? If it was a $100 bill, you surely pick it up. A church building, listen, they didn't have church buildings till about the third century. About the third century. So what does that mean? When people were baptized, they were baptized in the rivers, in the lakes. And guess what? Remember, back then, they also didn't have plumbing. They didn't have a lot of plumbing like we have today. They didn't have all that stuff. So you know where they would get their water? From the lake and from the river. They would go take baths there. They would go, you know, I don't think they would really drink it because it would make them sick. That's a different Bible study. But the lake and the river was the place to be. Wash their clothes, all those things. It was a place to be. So whenever the church would want to have a baptism service, they would come and they would all go to the river. They would all go to the lake. They would all go to the river and the lake. They would all go there, and they would have, and everybody was there. Everybody was there. They was taking a bath. They was swimming. They was having a good time at the lake. Everybody was there. So baptisms was a public thing. In other words, and when people would get baptized, the church would come rolling deep, you know, because there was like 3,000, 4,000, 5,000, 10,000 of the church at that time. They would come rolling deep. And then all the city would come and they would say, man, here comes the people of the way. Because that's what they were called. They weren't called Christians yet. They were called the people of the way. They called them that because they followed the way of the master, the way of Jesus. See? So here the church would come rolling deep. And then all the city and all the community that was there already at the lake, they weren't part of the church. They would see the church coming. And then they would see that these new people that they were in the middle. And then the apostles would get in there, the deacons would get in there, and they'd begin to baptize new people.
Man.
And as new people were being baptized, you know, the people from the city that were there, they say, oh, there goes, you know, my tia Concha, and there goes my primo, you know, Mickey Mouse, and there goes my neighbor right there, Pete, and there goes, you know, my other friend from school, yeah, Rosa, and there goes, man, they're all getting baptized. And the people in the city would see all that, and they would see people being added to the church. It was public.
Man.
So therefore, when you get baptized, you're making a statement, I'm going to be faithful.
Man.
This ain't just for show. Some people do it for show. Baptism was like, it was like the initiation.
Yeah, yeah.
I know by initiation because I was in a gang.
Come on.
They initiated me twice. I don't know why. They just wanted to beat somebody up. Huh? The young homies initiated me. The younger dude. And then the big homies came. And they said, hey, I heard you got down. I said, yeah. Thought I was all that proud, right? You know, you weren't there.
Good.
But then the next question, who jumped you in? Well, the homeboy this, the homeboy dad. You know, well, who are they? Those are the peewees. I said, we're the real big dogs. I said, oh. Can I think about this? No. Get in the car. Took me to a park. I'll never forget. Man, it seemed like 30 of them. You know, but it was probably less. I made a big circle around me. There's a few of us, I think, that got that day. I think it was like two or three of us. But about a good 15, 20, maybe about 30. They surrounded us. Huh? Took off our shirt. But let's do this. Put us in the middle. And it was, I think it was like two or three of us, and we just got back to back. And we just like, all right, now here it comes. Huh? And they did a countdown. 13 seconds. All right, ready, go. And then pause again. Just got down. It's almost gone. 1, 2, 3. Count faster. By 5, 7, I was already on the ground just making a ball. And boom. And they were hitting hard. Hitting hard. I got up, had a Nike imprint on my forehead. I couldn't sit down for about a week without it hurting. But when we got up, it was like a new... Even though it was like at the beginning when they put you in the middle, it's like, it was like everybody was like, you could see their faces like, I'm going to get you, man. I want to, like, they wanted to knock your socks off. In the beginning, it's like, man, is this, are they my friends or my enemy? I'm serious. Are they my friend? And then, boom, you know, you're in the middle, you're like, man, they're the enemy right now. But you know, as soon as it was over, 13, boom. The home goes, stop.
True story.
As soon as they said stop, soon it was over. All right, homeboy, welcome to the Glica. And all the homeboys begin to come in and hug you and shake your hand. What's up, blah, 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 what's up? And let me tell you something. That's what gets young people in the gangs, is the love you experience. Even though we don't understand how that's love when they're hitting you. But it's after. It's after. Right?
Yeah.
It's after. Those of you wearing gangs. It's after that love that you... All right, you're one of us now. Nobody messes with you. You got a problem, you come to us. You got a problem, you come to us. All right, homeboy. Man, we all... It was like a new life. It was like a new life. That was the initiation in the world. But it was so foolish, because in reality, it became a wicked life. It became a life that got involved, and all of a sudden, after a while, you know, those people that you thought were friends, when it came down to money, when it came down to dope, after a while, when you got time, come on somebody, nobody visited but mama. Nobody put money on your books, but mama. Are you hearing me? You had to face your time on your own. But in God, baptism is like the initiation. It's like the initiation. Sometimes it's a little, you know, scary. Man, is the water cold? Everybody's watching. I'm the focus of attention. All eyes on me. You know, one of my fears too, I used to think like, man, if I'm going to get in the gang, that means this is the gang. I can't be jumping around in other gangs. This is the gang. Because you can't do that. Because then you know, from what I knew, it'd get you if you did that. Sometimes in Christianity, it's the same way. It's like you're thinking about getting baptized, but you're like, in the back of your head, you're like, man, am I really going to make this commitment? Because if I do this, I'm serious. This is it. You have to count the cost. Jesus said, no man goes into war unless he counts the cost to see if he got enough in his arsenal, if he got enough what it takes to win the war or to finish what he started. Nobody starts building a house unless he first looks over the blueprints and figures out that he has enough blueprints and enough material to finish building the house. He says, count the cost. Count the cost before you make a decision. And every believer needs to count the cost before they accept Christ or before they make the decision to get baptized. You got to count the cost. So many people make an emotional decision. This is why I don't have to yell all the time. I ain't got to get your amens all the time. I just need to preach God's word. And I need you to think about God's word long and hard and serious. I don't want you to do this out of emotion. You need to do this because you counted the cost. Because I don't want you to come later and say, no, Pastor. Well, I didn't know it was going to be like this. No, you need to know what you're getting yourself into. When I got saved, I counted the cost. You know what that means? I had to think about how the homies were going to think about me. I had to think about what the family was going to think about me because I grew up Catholic. Now I'm going to be a Christian. Some of those, sometimes you don't think about that stuff. I had to think about, man, what persona am I going to give off? What am I saying to the world? What am I saying to my friends? What am I saying to my children? What am I saying here? You're saying a lot. When you get baptized, you're saying a lot. You're identifying with Christ. You got to think about it. Because you're making the most important decision of your life. But you got to think it through all the way to the end. And you got to weigh out the pros and the cons. You got to think about, well, what if I don't surrender? What if I don't? Think it all the way through, my friend. Because if you don't, and you stand before God in the judgment seat, and you haven't accepted Jesus into your heart, and you haven't fully committed yourself to, because there's some people that can be in the church, and they're halfway with God. They're lukewarm. God says, I will spew you out of my mouth. You have to either, he's Lord of all or he's not Lord at all. And if he's Lord of all, get baptized. Amen. What are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? The rapture? What are you waiting for? Oh, because I wanted this and I wanted that. Listen, you can't come on your own terms. You got to come on God's terms. Get initiated. Make the commitment. Because let me tell you something, at the end of the day, the end of it all, the ultimate thing that you should think about is that at the end of the road, it's only going to be me and God. And this is the most important decision of my life.
That's right.
Is am I going to serve God or not?
That's right.
Because at the last, at the end, that's all that's going to matter. It's not going to matter how much money I got in my bank account. It doesn't matter how many cars I have. It doesn't matter how much money I got. It doesn't matter how many friends I have on Facebook. It doesn't matter how many followers. That don't matter. Nothing that doesn't matter. It's between me and God. So I need to make a decision. And I need to think things through. My friends ain't going to be there. My homeboys ain't going to be there. My homegirls ain't going to be there. My brothers and sisters ain't going to be there. It's me and God. That's what helped me make a decision.
That's right.
Is I thought things all the way through. I thought it. From what are my friends going to think? What is my family going to think? What am I going to do? Because I don't know what to do because I've been dope dealing all my life. I don't know what to do stealing all my life. So I had to think things through. That means I have to work honestly. I have to make an honest living. Okay, I can do that. It's going to be hard, but I can do that. I have sticky fingers, but I'm going to keep my pants in my pocket.
Hello. Come on.
I had to make a decision. Oh, that means that I can't be sleeping around no more. I can't be sleeping around no more.
Come on.
Huh? That means I gotta be holy. Oh, I gotta think that through, my God. Can I be real?
Yeah.
Gotta think that through.
Break it down.
Yeah, I can do that. That means I can't smoke weed. Oh, I'm in love with Mary Jane. All right, that's a hard one. If I could give up Mary Jane, I could give up Mary Jane. I can't drink. Oh, Cowboys and Budweiser go good. Fajita and Corona go good.
Come on, Pastor.
But can I keep the fajita? Right? You had to count the cost.
That's right.
You had to count the cost. I said, yes, I can stop drinking, man. He delivered me from weed. He delivered me from alcohol. Now I can do this. Count the cost. I got to serve God for life. I got to the day I die, I'm going to serve God. Well, why not? Is he trying to hurt me? No. Why not? He said he took care of me. He's Jehovah Jireh. Why not? And then the last one. What am I going to do when I die? I'm going to stand before God. If I do not have Jesus in my heart, I go to hell. If I do have Jesus in my heart, I go to heaven. I'm with Jesus. If I do not accept Jesus, then I go to hell and I suffer for eternity. It's simple. I don't want to suffer. I want Jesus.
Yes,
man.
Right. I want Christ in my heart. I want Christ in my heart. I want Christ in my heart. Where's it at? Duck me. Come on, somebody. I'm ready to be baptized. I'm ready to make that commitment to serve Christ. If that's you here this morning, you want to make that commitment to serve Christ. As every head is bowed, every eye closed. Maybe you're here this morning and you're not saved. You're not a Christian. You want to get saved this morning. You want to give your life to God. Or maybe you need to rededicate your life to God. I want to ask you to raise your hand. Anybody here? Anybody here? God bless you. God bless you. Anybody else? Okay, say this prayer real quick. Say, Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. I give you my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. That's simple. You're saved. It doesn't take no big mystical prayer. No, you're saved now. You made Jesus the Lord of your life. Now, if you want to get baptized, I want you to come. I want you to come. Make a line over here. I want the ministers to come. We're not going to take long. And I want the church to celebrate. To celebrate. Give them a hand. Take courage. Take courage.
If you need a change, we understand you need a change. Go for it. That's fine.
But if you're ready, Mercedes is ready. Let's all stand to our feet. Let's celebrate this morning, this moment. I can have the worship team come up. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. For those that are ready to get back, so just make a line behind, right here with me. And we can go ahead and begin.